You are listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club here on His Time Friday morning. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Blessed Friday morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I hope you are too.
I am. Hey, how are the folks in Arnold doing, Arnold, Missouri? I know we've been doing some disaster response here in Missouri after all the floods. How are the folks doing after the floods and recovering?
Well, I know that there's been a lot of work helping people recover. And again, by the grace of God, the members of our congregation, Good Shepherd and Arnold, have not been directly affected by the flood. None of our people, you know, had serious damage or loss with the floods, but some of our neighbors and friends did. But there's been a great community response, and also the American Red Cross, FEMA, and others have been here. And I know the Lutheran Disaster Response people also have been making themselves available to help people. So thank you for asking, and I know things are progressing apace, and if there should be any needs that we would have, we certainly know that we can count on our brothers and sisters in Christ to stand alongside us and give us a hand.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it is it's Creation Club, and we have an announcement, right? The Missouri Association for Creation has an event coming up.
That is correct. The Missouri Association for Creation has its monthly event, which will be Monday, February 8th. The location is Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road. That's 63131. Many people know you can see that from Interstate 270, kind of on the west side of 270 there, on the west side of the St. Louis metro area. The topic that starts at 6 p.m. is a DVD, Creation DVD presentation with Dr. Georgia Purdom from Answers in Genesis. The title is The Intelligent Design Movement. And the promo here says, the intelligent design movement has gained much popularity in both secular and Christian circles in recent years. The movement's history, philosophical and theological foundations, and approach to science are important to understanding its impact on Christianity. In this Hot Topic DVD, Dr. Georgia Purdom, who has her Ph.D. in molecular genetics, reveals the history and unravels the good, the bad, and the ugly of this new idea regarding origins. Excellent information for every parent, pastor, and science teacher entrusted with the education of children and or families. So that certainly will be worth watching. That's at 6 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., the main event is a live speaker, again on the topic of intelligent design. It's called Intelligently Designed, Learning from Our Creator. Witness numerous examples where scientists and engineers learn from the Creator's handiwork how to solve our toughest design challenges. Learn the history behind the intelligent design movement. Think 2,500 years, not 25 years. Most importantly, we'll see what the Creator says about the subject. The speaker is Gary Winkler. He's an engineer with 25 years experience and has received multiple patents. After being confronted in the year 2004 with evidence that human evolution stories were dubious, he began researching all the lines of the so-called evidence for evolution. His resulting conclusion is that science thoroughly supports the biblical model and it soundly rejects the evolutionary model. He now works to share this information with others to help them defend their faith and to know that the Bible is true from the beginning to the end. So once again, this is the Missouri Association for Creation monthly meeting. It's taking place on Monday, February 8th, 6 p.m., the DVD with Dr. Georgia Purdom on the intelligent design movement. And then at 7 p.m., the live speaker, Gary Winkler, an engineer, talking about intelligently designed learning from our Creator. Again, this is at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road in St. Louis. For those who are in St. Louis, we encourage you to attend this if you're able to. But if you cannot attend it and you're not in the St. Louis area, don't despair, because that DVD with Dr. Purdom is available from answersingenesis.org. We recommend that you get it. And we're going to give you a little sample of Dr. Georgia Purdom talking about intelligent design right now. And we can kind of, from what we were just saying, you might say, well, is intelligent design good or bad? Because on the one hand, it sounded like she's talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then, you know, when we talked about what Gary Winkler's going to talk about, it sounds like, well, that sounds like intelligent design to me. So let's listen to Dr. Georgia Purdom speak about this in a short clip that we have, and then if in the remaining time we can kind of unpack what she says and help people get a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about.
Asking the question, is the intelligent design movement Christian?
Right.
So is the intelligent design movement Christian? Well, the simple answer to that is no, but let's take a more in-depth look at why that's the case. And the first thing we need to do is define intelligent design as it's defined by those in the intelligent design movement. So what I'm going to do is share with you a quote from the Discovery Institute website, and they are sort of a think tank for the intelligent design movement as to how they define intelligent design. And I quote, "The theory that certain features of the universe and living things are best explained by an intelligent cause, not an undirected process such as natural selection," end quote. So basically, it's like if we look at Mount Rushmore and we see the faces of the presidents there, we wouldn't think that that came about as a result of wind and weather over long periods of time, but rather that someone intelligent carved those faces into the mountain. And that's basically the concept behind the intelligent design movement, that if it looks designed, then it is designed. So it's an evidential approach that basically tries to answer the question of what is design, not who, when, why, where, and how, which is why the movement is not Christian, because the Bible does tell us who, when, why, where, and how. And so while there are Christians in the intelligent design movement, the movement itself is not Christian. Now, how do they decide? How do those within the intelligent design movement decide what is design? Well, they would say that things that are irreducibly complex are designed. And many times that refers to complex biological pathways, like the biochemistry of vision or the blood clotting pathway. And these are made up of lots of parts. And all the parts have to be there in order for the pathway to be functional. So they would say that evolutionary processes cannot have formed these in some sort of stepwise fashion over many, many years of accumulating these parts. Because, see, evolution is goalless, it's purposeless, it cannot see the future. So evolution cannot keep a part that's not useful now with the idea that it will accumulate additional parts that will help it be useful in the future. So biblical creationists have used intelligent design arguments and complexity arguments for many years to help confirm scriptures. So what really is the problem with the intelligent design movement? Well, the central problem is that they've divorced the creator from his creation. And by not having the history of the Bible and understanding the fall of man and the curse on all creation, they have a difficult time explaining evil such as in the world, such as carnivory and flesh-eating bacteria. And naturally, when you answer the question of what is design, the next questions are who, when, why, where, and how. So without the framework of the Bible and understanding that evil came about as a result of man's actions, not God, God appears sloppy, incompetent, if not downright vicious. So by ignoring the authority of Scripture, they have an insufficient explanation for evil and an insufficient solution for evil. You know, Romans 1:20 tells us that we can know about God through what he has created, general revelation, but we need special revelation, the Bible, to understand the work of Christ. So by using the Bible as a starting point, we can help people see the bad news in Genesis, the fall of man, and the good news in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of all mankind.
All right. So that was Dr. Georgia Purdom, right?
Yeah, Dr. Georgia Purdom, again, she has a PhD in molecular genetics. She is a speaker at Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, and she's the one that will be featured in the video that will be shown at the event that we were talking about, Missouri Association for Creation, next Monday, February 8th. And the video clip that we got there was from the website of answersingenesis.org. Now, is Georgia Purdom saying, and is Answers in Genesis saying that the intelligent design movement is bad? And the answer is no, it's not bad. And in fact, the whole idea of intelligent design is something that the good friends at Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, use all the time, because it is true that you can see in the created things the design of the intelligent creator, God. But did you catch what Dr. Purdom was saying? If you're asking the question, is the intelligent design movement Christian? Mm. Her point was, well, there are Christians in it, and Christians use those arguments. Mm-hmm. You have to watch out, because the intelligent design movement per se does something that we would view as a big mistake. It divorces creation from the creator. In other words, it says, well, you can see from certain things in nature that they had to be intelligently designed because they're irreducibly complex. And she goes into some detail about that. But at the same time, by not answering the question, who is that intelligent designer, and saying, well, we don't know, see, that's really the flaw, that's the weakness. Now, the advantage, from the point of view of people in the intelligent design movement, is that maybe you can get a hearing from people who would dismiss you right away if you were using the Bible. And maybe you can get a foot in the door, for example, in public schools or something like this. But and of course, there's been a lot of controversy about, can we do that? Can you bring in intelligent design? And a lot of times, when push comes to shove and they go to court over this, intelligent design gets rejected because judges have said it's religious because it points to a who without answering who the who is. Mm-hmm. In other words, who is that creator? Who is the intelligent designer of it all? So the point is, intelligent design is true. And think about Dr. David Menton is one of our favorite speakers, and mm-hmm. he works with Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. Very, very intelligent man. And he often, for example, talks about anatomy, human anatomy, and the anatomy of other living things. And in so doing, you're always pointing to the intelligent design. So if you talk about the eye or the ear or the heart or any other parts of our bodies, you can't help but see that each part is intelligently designed. It has a function, and it's carefully designed for what it does. And Dr. Menton does a superb job of pointing that out, but he does not fall into the trap of failing to tell who is the designer. Dr. Menton, always in his speeches about anatomy and Answers in Genesis and so forth, brings forth that God is the one who designed the eye and the ear and all of our parts. He echoes what Scripture says when the psalmist says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. And so Dr. Menton does an excellent job of connecting creation, which he studies very carefully from a scientific point of view, but he connects it with what the Bible tells us about God is the one who created us, one who designed us the way that we are, that put all the parts of the body together just the way he chose, the way he knew was best for us. And then, as Dr. Purdom pointed out, if the people in the intelligent design movement who don't want to talk about the Bible, who don't want to talk about God, but just speak about intelligent design without talking about who and when and how, you run into the problem that what we're looking at today is a creation that is fallen. And if you don't have the Bible to tell you about the fall into sin, then it would seem that God is either sloppy or careless, or even capricious or vicious, as she said, because you see the results of sin in the world. You see carnivorous animals, you know, that there is killing. You have the red tooth and the red claw, you know, that wasn't there in the beginning when God created a perfect world and there was no sin and there was no death. But you can't know that just from scientific observation of the world now. The only way you understand where the problem of sin and death and suffering comes from is by reading the Bible. That's where we get that information. Likewise, you can't learn about God's solution to the problem of sin and death without the Bible, which is God's special revelation that points us to Jesus Christ. Already in the book of Genesis, when we read the fall into sin, we also hear of the first promise of the coming of the Savior, who would be the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head and thus undo all the harm that came into the world by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and that God was going to send this second Adam, Jesus, as the last Adam, who would be tempted but not succumb to temptation, who would live a perfect life for us and then offer up his perfect life on the cross as the perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of all sinners, going back to Adam, and he would, by his death and resurrection, conquer sin and death and hell and give us the promise of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life as a gift of God to be received by faith in the grace of God, the mercy of God extended to us in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our crucified and risen Savior. And that is so important. And I'm so thankful that Dr. Purdom, Dr. Menton, and the good friends at Answers in Genesis try to make sure that that comes into every one of their presentations. So yes, they are real scientists who look at real scientific evidence with observational science in the present, but when it comes to historical science and the question of origins, they don't make the mistake of thinking you can understand these things without the Bible. They clearly, unabashedly say the foundation has to be the Bible, and we say we understand the Bible as God's Word. We have a faithful eyewitness account of creation in God's Word, the Bible, so let's not reject that. And yet, with intelligent design, sure, we see intelligent design all over the place. All of the things that God made show God's intelligent design. And there is this thing of irreducible complexity, which is good to know. When you find a watch, you know there's a watchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find something like a human eye or a human heart, it's foolish to think that that could happen by accident. And when you look at things like the human blood clotting pathway, you realize that there are so many factors in there that that couldn't possibly have evolved over vast periods of time by accidental mutations, because every single aspect of that is vital to life, and you can't wait around for millions and billions of years for all the pieces to come into place. Everything has to be there at the start, or it doesn't work at all, and would be fatal. In other words, you know, life would not exist if that were not created to be right there from the beginning. And in the same way, when Dr. Menton explains about human reproduction and goes through the whole process of human reproduction, he points out how again and again and again the human reproductive system is irreducibly complex. And if every aspect did not work properly from the beginning, there would be no human beings, because it would be impossible to reproduce. But at each step of the way, you see God's wonderful design in how we are made. And so, again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that. And when you look at the world through observational science, you can see God's design there. But, again, as Answers in Genesis points out, you know, when you talk about origins, it always comes back to you have to have the interpretation of the evidence, right? And so the same two different scientists, one an atheist and one a Christian, can look at the mm-hmm. same evidence and come up with different conclusions. So one looks at the Grand Canyon and says millions and millions of years, and one looks at it and says, you see God's hand here, it points to the flood, and you know, they're one's interpreting it through a biblical lens and one's through a man-made religion of Darwinism, and they come to different conclusions, not because the evidence is different, it's the same evidence, but one is looking through the lens of God's Word and one is interpreting evidence through the lens of fallible man's opinions and Darwinian evolution.
When we, and with just about 20 seconds left, when we divorce these, when intelligent design divorces from the Creator and from the Bible, then we miss what creation is all for.
Exactly, exactly. And you miss the connection about who is the Creator, mm-hmm. and what went wrong in terms of sin, and what's the solution, which is Jesus Christ, that's vital, always to bring people back to Jesus Christ, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, and it's His Word in Holy Scripture that we can trust.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Pastor Wirth. God's blessings on your weekend and Transfiguration this Sunday.
Indeed. God bless you, too.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, Morning Prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.